There are about 100 experts in the UK money blogger community in all. Who are the people behind the Twitter handles? Holly is thriftymum.com, quite simply. Well, Share Radio's Sarah Machem has been talking to Andy Webb. He's a blogger, journalist and trainer on all things money and consumer affairs. Now, his site is becleverwithyourcash.com and he tweets at Andy Clevercash. So she started by asking Andy, well, how the blog started.
So I set up Be Clever Your Cash in early 2014. And unlike a lot of the bloggers who are documenting their experience out of debt or whatever it might be, I just kind of started writing something. And in a way, I kind of thought it might be a portfolio for some freelance work or other things. But it's kind of generated and sort of developed into my job, essentially. Now I'm kind of part-time with the blog, the rest of the time doing freelance work or other kind of personal finance journalism. But yeah, it's morphed into this thing which now gets kind of a million views a year, which I still can't get my head around that many people want to, you know, read this, something that I've written and to kind of help them with their finances. But it's just me. It's just how I live my life. I'm kind of one of those people who always has been, it sounds to say, well, clever with my cash, I suppose. I've always kind of looked for the best deal. I've always tried to think about how I can save money in order to spend it somewhere else, whether that was traveling or later on for my wedding or whatever it might be. But that's just who I am, and kind of just put that there, you know, online for people to read and hopefully learn from.
You said you just started writing stuff, so could you give us an example of the kind of things that you write about, about the kind of articles that you would write?
Yeah, so anything that I write about is something that I've either experienced myself or something that I've learnt about as I've learnt in the personal finance sort of journalism world. So often the people who write the articles, and these are friends of mine, they've openly admitted to people, but they don't actually do the stuff they write about. You know, they write about Switch Energy, yet they've not done it for 6 years. But I do this stuff all the time anyway. It's very important to me that I'll only have something on the blog which I believe in. You know, lots of blogs might take, you know, I guess, advertorial type content where they're sponsored to write something. I won't do that. I'll only write about something if I think it is a good thing for someone to know, whether that's a way to save money or whether it's something to watch out for. It's that independence, that impartiality, but it's fundamentally it's what I do and how I am with my money.
It does strike me as being quite a personal blog. So one of the things you wrote about recently was you were trying to buy train tickets when Virgin had their advertised sale, which, as you found out, wasn't quite as you'd expected. So that, I'm guessing that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. Anything, it's sort of tried and tested ways to save money.
Yeah, that advert was something that really kind of annoyed me. There was a great deal potentially for people. They could get £10 single trains from London to Manchester, which sounds fantastic, and it is fantastic. But when I looked into it, I found that, well, the dates that I wanted to travel, which was a weekend, they weren't available. And then the more I looked into it, more weekends weren't available. And it turned out that, you know, over half the weekends in their promotional period weren't available, which, again, it's that kind of standing up, I guess, where needs be to brands where they're kind of misleading you slightly, but at the same time shouting about them when they're doing something that is fantastic. So I've written just recently about, you know, we know lots of banks are closing at the moment, but letting people know that actually you can go into post offices now and, you know, pay in money and take out money. So just letting people know that when I, you know, do these things, learn these things, kind of my experience from it, and hopefully get people to be, you know, improve their finances too.
Did Virgin say anything to you? Did you, when you approached them?
I tweeted them a few times about it, and they were kind of saying, oh, it's all in the terms and conditions. And it was kind of vaguely there. But it's, again, I guess trying to kind of raise, let people know that when these things aren't quite as they appear. And I've done a few things like that. O2 selling iPhones in the past, I found that they were selling them far more expensive when you buy them the phone up front than through a contract, which is already more expensive than it should be. But kind of highlighting some of those things that they're doing.
What kind of response do you get from your readers? Well, I mean, going back to the example with the Virgin train tickets, do you get lots of people writing to you saying, yeah, I've tried to book tickets and it's not worked? And people must really resonate with what you're writing about.
It is lovely when I do get people sort of send me nice things about their experiences, so sort of sharing people. I think if you're in that kind of mentality where you're a bit of a money nerd, a bit of a money geek, and you enjoy these little tips and tricks, that you do kind of want to share when you found something, and not in a kind of comparing, like I saved more than you, but it's like, oh wow, I've just done this, I've saved this much by doing this, or I've saved much by doing that. So that's a really lovely way that, that, you know, readers do get in touch, which is genuinely kind of makes me think, wow, how did this happen in the last 3.5 years from me writing about the local Blockbuster closing, which is the first article I wrote. So now, as I say, you know, having, you know, 80,000 people a month finding the blog and reading about it and hopefully, you know, saving or making money.
Some of the things you write, though, on the website aren't necessarily about saving money, but are very often about your opinions of things. So one article which caught my eye was 5 things that you would spend a bit more on. And I know, I think one of them was craft beer, and I think you mentioned your engagement ring as well. So where does the inspiration come for those kind of articles where you think, yeah, I'm just going to write down my opinions here?
You know, it is difficult because obviously I'm also a freelance personal finance journalist, and I worked out that I've easily written more than 1,000 different articles in the last 3 years. And sometimes I don't even remember that I've written something. I see something, I think, oh, who wrote that? And it was me. So with the blog, I guess it's just whenever something, it could be something that's topical, it could just be, you know, something that happens. So I've written most recently about car parking, because we had to park the car and they wouldn't take the new £1 coin. And then I tried to phone up and do it through that. And that was 10 minutes it would take you to register. And then you had to use the app. And it was incredibly complicated. And I thought, well, actually, there's something there in helping people work out the ways to save money when they're parking a car. So often it's just that. If something happens in my week, that's the inspiration. But again, it could be something very topical. So, you know, we know that when Christmas is around, there's obviously going to be some stuff to help people with that, or Black Friday, the budget. There's always going to be something that kind of helps people understand their finances better and hopefully make you know, more of their money.
Speaking of topical things, you've written an article about Easter chocolate and made some quite enlightening calculations about the cost of chocolate per gram if you buy a big slab of dairy milk and how that compares with an Easter egg. When you're making those calculations, because I think you looked at Cadbury's, but you also looked at Hotel Chocolat, for example, how long does that take you to do all your research and then to do all the maths and then write something?
Yeah, I do think there's an interesting way of getting people to think about money. I'm not saying don't buy Easter eggs. I did a thing last month when Waitrose cut their free tea and coffee, and went to a Waitrose store and I found that you could spend 1p on a single mushroom to still get yourself a free tea and coffee. I'm not saying do that. I think that's ridiculous. But I thought it was just a fun way of getting people to think about what they're spending, why something is free. And like with the Easter chocolate, I'm not saying don't buy an Easter egg, but you could, you know, actually get more chocolate for the same amount of money, which, just because it's not in an egg shape, I think that's a winner. Or you could spend less money and have the same amount of chocolate. But yeah, it doesn't take a huge amount of time to figure that all out. Just need a calculator and find what shops are charging. But I think it's an interesting one there. You know, you think about Cadbury's, which is your basic entry Easter egg. And the egg is about 20%, I think, more expensive than buying it in chocolate bars. But when you go to something like Hotel Chocolat, which already, you know, you kind of need a second mortgage to buy an egg anyway, don't you? Because they're so expensive. But the egg, again, it's a huge amount of money more to have it in egg form than just the slab of chocolate. And I guess it's a way of just hopefully helping people think, okay, how am I spending my money? Would it be better spent elsewhere? Or could I just get more for the same amount?
Manufacturers tap into that psychology, I suppose, of what you're buying. And that's maybe what you're trying to debunk.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably fair, because you do kind of, there's so many things where you think, oh, just because it's more expensive, it's going to be the better item. You know, we talked about the article where I pick things where I'm always happy to pay more money. So most of the case, I do want to save money. I like to spend as little as I can just because I enjoy doing that. I get a bit of a kick from saving money and spending less. But there are things where, do you know what? Yeah, I will spend more because it is better quality. But that doesn't mean every time. You know, I don't, food's a fantastic example of that, where you think just because it is a premium brand, that means it's better. Well, often the same stuff is made by the same manufacturers in the same factory. It's just got a different wrapping around it. There isn't really a difference. So I guess debunking that, gets the two sides of it, that you shouldn't always pay more, you shouldn't always pay less. But if you can get better value for what you're spending in whatever way, then I think that's a great thing to do. And that's a really important part of, you know, being clever with your cash, is getting the best value so you can spend it as you want or save it as you want.
you do a podcast as well, and you have a YouTube channel. So tell us about that. Is the content on those different from what's on your blog on the website?
So the videos is something I've started doing a lot more of this year, and I'm really enjoying it, actually. It takes a bit of used to. But that, again, they're videos which generally would accompany an article that I've written, because sometimes people like to consume media slightly differently, or they like to get it from different channels. But have a bit of fun there. I did some blind wine tasting to see if we could work out the difference, if there was really a different taste between sort of a cheaper and more expensive supermarket bottle. So that was really good fun. And then with the podcast, I mean, a lot of that's come from, you know, my experiences on Share Radio over the last couple of years, which I've really enjoyed. And it's just great to, I guess, to present my own show. So the idea behind this Cash Chats podcast is that I'll talk to a member of the UK money blogger community, which is something that I set up about 3 years ago, or one of our friends of the community, and using the content that we've written as kind of starting off points for different conversations, and just see where it goes. So it's quite a mix, you know, different person who I'm talking to every week, and different topics just within one of the shows. So it's, I really enjoy doing it, and it's, I think it's another, you know, new way for people to kind of hopefully, you know, improve the states of their finances.
Andy Webb from BeCleverWithYourCash.com, thank you very much for joining us on Share Radio.